On behalf of our Glenbrook congregation, we want to thank St. Andrew's for hosting today. And in many ways, today's service is really, in many ways, a fruit of a friendship that Pi and I have established over a few years now. And as Pi has mentioned about the meaning of Glenbrook in his life, I just want to suggest and give you an encouragement as well, and with regards to our two congregations and what St. Andrew's has meant to a number of, even within our own congregation. I know Deborah Rolls has preached here a few times as well, and also just has been involved in that way. And so we are encouraged just with your support of even some of our seminary students as well too. Our friendship, and I ministers, pastors need pastors, and we need to pray with each other and for each other. And so I've just appreciated your pastor over the past several years too, as Pi encourages me in my walk. I also would suggest too that there's also a Thai food restaurant just north of here in Streetsville that's also very grateful for our friendship as well too. And it's very good, by the way. So I appreciate that, and I'm sure they appreciate our patronage as well too. But once again, it's good to be here with you this morning and to be worshiping together on this Trinity Sunday. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. We give you thanks, O Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we can enter into who you are as a community of love and delight in who you are. We thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Through his name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. I think one of the things that I know about your congregation here at St. Andrew's, and also about the congregation I serve at Glenbrook, is that we are congregations that pray. Amen? We are congregations that see prayer as a priority. My sense of it also is that we are a congregation who not simply prays for those within our churches, but we also pray for the reach that we have beyond these walls for others within our community, maybe even within our world. And so our prayers are not simply pastoral prayers in that sense, internal, but they're also looking beyond the walls. They are missional prayers. They are prayers asking God to work in and through us as God's people for his purposes and his mission within our community. Now, I believe that really to be truly, if I can use this word, Trinitarian in our prayer life, is that we merge our prayers, our collective prayers, we merge those prayers into the prayers of Jesus, who we believe is risen and intercedes before us, before the Father, for us as well. And even in those prayers, Jesus intercedes for friends and even strangers alike, and our prayers are joined with Christ's prayers before the Father, such that we participate in the kingdom work that we are called into through the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But sometimes it's not simply the prayers that we pray for others that we need to continue to do and to be a part of in terms of our own intercession. But sometimes we also, as a congregation, we also sometimes need to hear prayers for us as well. We need to pray not only for others, but we also need to hear prayers that are coming to us because of who we are. And I want to make this clear. This is not to be selfish. This is not to be spiritually narcissistic. But part of this also is that the best of churches can be distracted by budgets and by worship styles, by doctrinal issues. Even the best of churches can be distracted by burnout and the commitment of those within its walls in this kingdom work. But I think sometimes we need to know that we too, as congregations, are being uplifted in prayer. That there's somebody who is praying for St. Andrew's Streetsville. There's somebody who is praying for Glenbrook Presbyterian Church. And maybe even on this Trinity Sunday, as Presbyterians gather together, praying for our denomination as a whole. we know that these days the church is facing many challenges. And we need to know that we cannot simply rely on our own resources, our own strength, even our own wisdom. But we need to have those prayers prayed into us as we join together in prayer with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm not sure if you were following... I'm not sure if you were following the NCAA basketball tournament this year. And I'm not really a big fan of the NCAA. I'm more of a Leaf fan. And they nearly got to, but anyways, I won't go there. I'm not a big basketball fan, but this year it caught my attention because of a particularly special intercessor. And I'm not sure if you remember this story, but there was a team called the Chicago Loyola Ramblers, and they had a feisty 98-year-old nun by the name of Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt, who served as the team's chaplain. In fact, she's in a wheelchair because she broke her hip, but that didn't stop her from trying to make it to many of the team's tournament games. And there was one news outlet that described her role with the team. And this is a quote: "She asked for God's protection for the players. She asked for the referees to call fouls justly." There you go. "She asked that the Ramblers execute the plays the way that they were intended. The prayers are anything but bipartisan." Okay. "I asked God to be especially good to Loyola so that at the end of the game, the scoreboard indicates a big W for us." Now, I'm not sure if God listens to a 98-year-old nun, but if you know what happened within the tournament, this team, underdogs, Cinderella, they had a run into the tournament that was just unbelievable. So there's a part of me, I'm thinking, okay, maybe God does listen to a feisty 98-year-old nun and her prayers. But maybe more important of this was the testimony of one of the players on that team, because what we saw was the publicity around this nun out there, but there was also things that she had done behind the scenes, writing notes to the players, knowing a little bit of their personal lives and encouraging them in their personal lives as well, too. And there was a testimony of one of the players who said this: "I know she's going to be there with us in prayer, absolutely, and cheering us on to win. And even if we win or lose, her presence means even more to us." Amen? Wow. To have and to know that somebody is simply praying for you in your life, maybe even in your congregational life, it can make a huge difference. In our scripture reading this morning that Wayne read for us, the Apostle Paul is imprisoned in Rome. He is at a distance from this congregation. He has heard through his friend Epaphras, who actually began this church in Colossae. Paul didn't found the church in Colossae. It was his friend. But his friend has communicated with him that hey, Paul, there is this new congregation that is established in Colossae. And they have discovered with enthusiasm the gospel of Jesus Christ. And many of them have given their lives over to Jesus. And so there was an enthusiasm, an initial enthusiasm going on within this church. But there's also some false teaching that was threatening to erode their faith and their witness. There was pressure from the inside, but also from the outside. And if we glean through the letter, and even as Wayne read for us, as Paul also hears about this concern, and so what he wants them to do is to focus in on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. He wants to remind them that Jesus is the one who is of the Son. He is the one who is, he was not simply exceptional, but he is indeed divine. He is begotten of the Father. He is not simply created. He, in fact, is the image of the invisible God. So what we see in Jesus is what we actually see in the Father and through the Spirit. And so Paul brings out his theology in this way in the letter to the Colossians. And so for Paul, just to reiterate this, Jesus was not merely an exceptional man who achieved an unusually close relationship with God. He is in an intimate relationship with the Father. He is the Father's eternal Son who shares life in all things with the Father and with the Spirit. He is the incarnate Son who in love has come and has redeemed us and forgiven us and empowered us. Nothing less than this would do for the Apostle Paul in terms of the Christology of Colossians. And so with this background, this theological background and understanding, Paul wants to pray for them. And he says this. He begins by saying, excuse me. He says, for this reason, and he begins his prayer. He says, for this reason, I want to pray for you. I want to lift you up. I want to encourage you before God. And so he says these words, and let's read them together. For this reason, since the day that we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God, here we go, to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. That's an important last little phrase there. Paul knew that even in Colossae, there were those philosophers, there were those teachings that were dealing with human wisdom. And Paul even knows in and of himself, he does not have the wisdom in many ways to guide them and to be with them. But what he does is he prays for them, that there is a wisdom and an understanding that is given from the very heart of the Trinity. And that wisdom and that understanding is given by who? By the Holy Spirit. Indeed, there is human wisdom that is wise. And Paul himself, we would say that he would be a wise person, absolutely. But even Paul knows that his wisdom is not enough. And so what Paul says is, I am praying for you and I'm continuing to pray for you that you will be filled with the wisdom and the understanding of the Holy Spirit. God is with you in this. And I am praying for you and I am lifting you up as a congregation. As a people after God's own heart. Wow. We're not alone in this enterprise. We're not alone in our journey, not only as individuals, but also as congregations. We have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit who continually prays for us as well. I think that interceding in prayer in this way is a gift that is given at times when even these Colossian Christians, when their own faith was being shaken to the core, and even when our own human understandings fall short of things that are going on, not only in their lives, but also in our own lives. And so sometimes we need to know that there's this gift of prayer within the Trinity that is given to us so that when we even experience something in our own lives, we can pray into that as well. Lord, I don't have all the words to say, but God, I know that you're praying into this as well. It's a gift. 2 weeks ago, I got a text from somebody in my congregation, which as a pastor, you don't ever want to get. But you know that it comes with the pastoral territory. And this is the text that I got. In fact, I was sitting at a distance. My car was getting serviced at the Toyota dealership. And I got this. It just came through my phone. And it just said this, hello, Pastor Ian. I'm not sure if this is the right place to ask. It's always a good thing to ask. Absolutely. This is the right place to ask. But I was hoping that you could say a prayer for my 10-year-old nephew. He has an immune disorder called ITP. And 2 nights ago, he had a brain bleed requiring surgery. Due to complications, he is on life support and is not expected to live. The priest has been in to give him the last rites, and the family has gathered to say goodbye. And it just ended like this. We are heartbroken. We are heartbroken. You know how sometimes you have those moments where you're complaining about a little issue about your car in your life, And then boom, something happens and you get something like this. And suddenly life is put into perspective. The family was in London. They were in the ICU unit in a hospital there. It was not a place where I could phone. So I thought, well, what can I do? What can we do? Well, we can what? We can pray. But there was a part of me too saying, how do you put into words a prayer for this family who are going through this really, really tragic, almost awful situation? What do you do? What do you say? In many ways, it is beyond words. But even in that moment, there was a sense of just the Holy Spirit speaking to my own heart. And I texted back a simple prayer with the only words that I could really, really think about. Because there was a part of me saying, you know, how do you express to a family that God loves them and cares for them? But where is God in this circumstance? How do they pray into that? How do I pray into that? So I wrote this back. I just texted a prayer to them. I said, loving God, right now I pray for this family and the heartbreaking news that they have just received. We pray that you would grant them a sense of your peace, even with all of the questions and the heartache that they're dealing with. I thank you, and this is what I wanted to sort of communicate to them. I thank you that Jesus took children up in his arms and blessed them. And I pray that this little one would also know that Jesus is with him and blesses him through this time. Surround this family at this time and in their heartbreak, that they would know that you weep with them, that you care for them. In Jesus' name, amen. To know that there is somebody who is praying for us, sometimes when we can't even find the words themselves, can make a difference. It really is a gift that we have been given as a community of faith, but also even as individuals. And for Paul, praying that they would be filled with this gift of the Holy Spirit, with this wisdom and this knowledge of God, that they are also with this, the results of prayer. We're going to move on here a little bit just with regards to the so that's that Paul lists here. And Paul loves lists, as you know. He'll make a theological statement, a premise, and then he'll have a list of things that come out of that behavior, out of that theology. And it's so typical of Paul to have the list. And here's the benefits of this prayer. Take a look at this slide. And I'm going to read the passage of Scripture, but here is his list. He says, so that you may, excuse me, let me go there. Thank you. Good. So that you may, I get excited, you know, and I'm not used to using a clicker, so that's a part of it too. Anyways, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. And then he moves on and he says this. Another, the list keeps going. Another, so that you may have great endurance and patience and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. You see, here Paul is not just praying for a big win. What Paul is saying to them is he's saying to them, you have already qualified. In a sense, you have already what? Won. In and through the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You have won, regardless of what others have been saying to you within your community. You might be small. You might be persecuted. Your life might be on the line. You might be ridiculed for believing in somebody who, from Nazareth, walked out of an empty tomb. But you have already qualified. You have already won in and through the Holy Trinity. So don't diminish your faith and don't diminish Christ in this way. You can be filled with the confidence and the assurance that you have already won, not because of anything that you have done, that we have done, We have already won. We have already qualified because of the grace of God, the love that has been given to us through Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. You have all of the benefits. You have inherited all of that grace. As God's people and as God's children in this way. What a difference that can make in terms of our own lives, also in terms of our own prayer lives, and also within our congregations. Friends, it's not that we're praying for a big W, but it's also that we have won, we have qualified. And God sees us in that way. Here's the words that Paul uses. And let's read them together. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us to the kingdom of the Son that he loves. I have the NIV version up here. No, the NRSV version up here. But that's good. Absolutely. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Friends, we've already qualified. We share in the inherited benefits of a relationship with God. We are residents already of the kingdom of light. And my friends, this is not only Paul's prayer for them, but as you've been hearing me preach this, vicariously it is our prayer this morning. It is my prayer for us as congregations that we can enter into this Trinitarian understanding of prayer. That God is for us in this way. God is for you in this way. For this reason, may God continually fill us with the knowledge of his will through all of his wisdom, all of his understanding that the Spirit gives. For we have been rescued, and in him, in Jesus, we have been brought into the kingdom of light. Amen? Amen. To know that someone is praying for us is a gift. To know that we can pray for each other as congregations is a gift. To know that we've been called to participate in this praying ministry of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on this Trinity Sunday and throughout the year for our communities, for our families, within our workplaces, even as congregations gather together, we can pray as pastors, we can pray as congregations. It gives us purpose and reason to pray for this reason. A final story. Let me just pop this up here. I read recently about Charles Galbraith. He's a pastor of Clarington Road Church in Brooklyn, New York. And he told the story of a black man who was gunned down in his neighborhood by police. And as a pastor, he knew that there was a lot of anger that was seething in the neighborhood. There was frustrations of racial tension, and it was about to erupt into violence. And there was many people who were lining up down the main street of where he was living to protest and what was going on. And at the same time, the police were gathering, and there was expected violence. Pastor Charles and a group of other pastors rushed to the gathering place, and they found themselves caught in the middle of this circumstance between the police and the people, and tensions were rising, and there were things that were being said across the divide. There was one side that began to pick up rocks, the other side began to clutch their guns. And the pastor saw what was going on, and they were not only just fearing for their own lives, but they were fearing for the lives of others. And Galbraith said this. He said, you know, some of the pastors spontaneously then just decided to walk into the middle of the street between these two parties. And what do pastors do? What can they do in a circumstance like that? What can they do? They can pray. They can pray. And not only do they pray, but they pray with their people behind them as they pray. And so they implored God to visit that place and that situation at that time. And as Pastor Galbraith tells it, he says, slowly, as these pastors were in the middle of that and they just began to pray, the tensions died down, and the people began to let go of their rocks, and the police stood, and their hands became loosened from their holsters. And there And what happened too was that there was others who began to see what was going on, and they gathered around and they also stayed and they just began to pray. And without a shot being fired, without a rock being thrown, conversations began, and God's presence appeared that night in that community. And as he said this was the beginning of something new. There was a lot of things that needed to continue to work within that community, but it was the beginning of something. And it was initiated by those who prayed, who lifted up each other in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. For this reason, we have not stopped praying for you. My friends, this morning, it is life-changing to know that someone is praying for you and for us, even as a congregation, even as Jesus Christ himself prays for us, even now. It's life-changing. My prayer this morning for us as congregations is to know that Christ is praying for us, is lifting us up as congregations, and that our prayers, they do not remove us from the world, but they place us firmly in the middle of our worlds, whether it's our family, whether it's our community, whether it's our churches, whatever that might be. Prayer places us in the middle. Sometimes in places that are good, but also sometimes where places that are challenging and awkward and evenly seemingly hopeless situations, whether it's a basketball court or an ICU unit or the middle of the street. My friends, we can pray in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this kingdom prayer can open up spaces for God's presence and God's peace and can strengthen those praying to walk faithfully in the kingdom, because we belong already to the kingdom of light. Amen? Amen. For this reason. What a great prayer. What great encouragement for us today on this Trinity Sunday. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before you and we admit and we repent at times, for we have sometimes relied on our own wisdom and our own understanding. Sometimes we have become distracted by many things within our own walls and within our own congregations. But God, we ask and pray that you would help us to be disciples in this age of distraction, to keep our eyes focused in on who you are. As Paul says, the image of the invisible God, the one created all above all, the one who is the head of the church, and we give you thanks for this in Jesus. And God, we also come before you and we thank you that you continue to pray with us and for us, but you also use us and call us to participate in this prayer ministry through our congregations. And so God, as we leave this place, remind us, no matter who we are and where we are, that we are those who've been called to pray. And whether it is a simple prayer, or whether it is a prayer that we simply have learned in church and we just know we can pray to you and for others and for each other. And so God, we thank you for this. In the name of Christ we pray. And for this reason we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen.